A few times a year, I go over to Belrive Memorial Gardens for burials, for funerals that we have here at Incarnate Word. And usually we have the service inside the mausoleum in that cemetery. And after the service, typically I'll stick around, wait for the funeral home folks to get ready to go and hitch a ride back to the parish. And I take a look at a few names on some of the gravestones. And one day, to my surprise, I found a grave of someone that I recognize. It was the grave of the Cardinal Hall of Famer, Lou Brock. He was in the mausoleum there. He passed away a few years ago. And as a kid, I heard so many stories about him from my dad and my grandfathers about how great of a player Lou Brock was, how fast he was, how tremendous of a hitter he was and his defensive skills. But inevitably, every time Lou Brock would come up, anytime my dad would tell a story about him, he would always tell the story about how Lou Brock got to be a cardinal. And anybody who knows the story knows that it's one of the most infamous trades in baseball history. It was a mid-season trade, June 15th, 1964, between the Cardinals and the Cubs. A rare thing for division rivals to make trades with each other. It was a multiplayer trade. There were other players involved, but the two centerpieces of that trade, the two main pieces, were Lou Brock, at the time a young outfielder for the Cubs, and Ernie Broglio, a pitcher for the Cardinals. And at the time it was made, this trade was lambasted by every sports writer and fan in the country as a ridiculous trade, because Ernie Broglio had a tremendous career up until that point. He was a tremendous pitcher, and up until then, Lou Brock had been quite a disappointment for the Cubs. And many people ask, why would the Cardinals do such a thing? However, it did not take long for everyone to be proven wrong. Because shortly after both of them suited up for their new teams, it became abundantly clear that the Cardinals had won the trade. Lou Brock would lead the team to a World Series in 1964 and go on to have a Hall of Fame career. Ernie Broglio, by contrast, was out of baseball about 2 years later. Brock for Broglio became synonymous, shorthand for a ridiculously one-sided trade with a clear winner and a clear loser. It felt lopsided from the get-go, but it turned out to be lopsided in the opposite direction. And while, of course, in a different arena and under far different circumstances, today we celebrate the fruits of a trade that puts Brock for Broglio to shame. We celebrate our God, who has offered the life of his beloved son in exchange for our redemption. Last evening, in our great Easter vigil, which began in darkness as the light of this Easter candle was brought into the church for the first time, we proclaimed the great Exultet, the great Easter proclamation. And there's a few lines from it that I think help put this in perspective. O wonder of your humble care for us, O love, O charity beyond all telling, to ransom a slave, you gave away your son. To ransom a slave, you gave away your son. On paper, brothers and sisters, that is objectively a lopsided trade, if we were to think about it. Why would the God of the universe give away and offer up the life of his beloved son for a mere human being? Why would God sacrifice something so infinitely great, so glorious, so marvelous, all for a creature fashioned from dust? And even more to the point, what if that creature was the one who had continually rebelled against the Father? What if that creature had time and time again said no to the overtures of the Father's unconditional love? And maybe even more, why would God suffer and willingly go through the cross to save those creatures more than any other? No one in their right mind would do that. It seems so lopsided, like somehow the evil one knows something that God doesn't, that he's somehow tricked him that, oh my gosh, I got his beloved son and I gave away a pittance in order to receive it. St. Paul describes this reality too. He says in Romans 5, indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The love behind this celebration today, brothers and sisters, is so wondrous, so absurd, that our God gave away his son to ransom us, who by fate deserved wretched slavery. On paper, it is a trade that makes no sense. On paper, it's as if we're trading the future career of Lou Brock for the future career of Ernie Broglio. And yet, brothers and sisters, it was to prove his love for you and for me that our God did this for us. And by doing so, he actually helps bring this trade of sorts to its fruition. Because since he was a human being, Christ could die. But also because he was fully God, he could defeat death itself from within, to rob it of its power and allow us to defeat death with him. It is a trade that blew up for the evil one from the moment it happened. We have been bought, purchased at an infinite price, purchased by the precious blood of Jesus. Our Lord was crucified for us. He rose from the dead for us. It's a trade-off of his suffering and death for my salvation and yours. This should be a point of great pride for us, that Jesus went through this for us. And we see this played out at every Mass, at the consecration of the Eucharist. This is my body, which will be given up for you. Do we understand and fully grasp the meaning of those words every time we are here? The blood that was exchanged for you and me was for our very lives, for our salvation. If we truly understood, I dare say we would also hear our God today inviting us to make a trade ourselves. Because the resurrection doesn't just inform us of an event that took place 2,000 years ago. No, it invites us to a radically new way of living, to turn away from our sinful habits and our old ways in exchange for something new. What is God inviting you to trade today? Maybe it's trading how we spend our Sundays and going to Mass instead. Maybe it's trading away old habits and addictions for freedom in Christ. Maybe it's trading away how we live in our relationships and marriages for the beauty of authentic, life-giving love. Now, yes, it might seem lopsided at first, trading away something that we hold near and dear. But the only way that you and I can truly embrace the meaning of today's solemnity is to trade away our old habits, our old sinful vices, and to put on Christ instead. Because what we put in pales in comparison to what our God will give us. We have to trust that what we're holding on to is really Ernie Broglio. And our God wants to give us Lou Brock in exchange, if only we let him. So brothers and sisters, we are the beneficiaries of the greatest exchange in human history. To ransom us, enslaved to sin, our God has given away his beloved son. Let us never forget the redemption that has been won for us today. And may we be willing to give up our old and sinful selves and receive the grace of the risen Christ in return.